At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome to the Politics Guys with your hosts, Gabe Parson and Michael Baranowski.
Welcome to the Politics Guys. I'm Michael Baranowski, a political scientist at Northern Kentucky University. My co-host this week, as always, is Cleveland area attorney and sometime Republican strategist, Jay Carson. Here's our Ask the Politics Guys question for this week, Jay. You ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Dear Politics Guys, Bernie Sanders says he's a democratic socialist. What does that mean? I think that's a pretty good question. It's certainly not a term that has been in common usage, at least in American politics, before Bernie Sanders. So what does that mean to you, Jay? When you hear democratic socialist, what do you think of?
I hear trouble.
I thought you did.
I guess it would be the type of idea that you have in sort of Scandinavian countries where you have a functioning democracy, but is a very wide and tightly knit social service net where the government provides a great many services and you have in return a pretty high rate of taxation. I guess that's what I would envision that meaning. Sort of what they used to call the socialism with a human face in Europe. I think that term kind of gives away.
I think
if you have to kind of put a human face on it, then what are you dealing with? But and I guess that's sort of what Bernie Sanders would want to represent. And he's also from a place where it's really pretty racially, ethnically, economically homogenous, and it's cold a lot of the time. So again, I think that's sort of Scandinavian model,
Vermont model too. Some similarities there. There's the big difference between sort of the standard dictionary, if you will, definition of the word socialism and what Bernie Sanders means, because socialism traditionally is essentially a type of society, type of government that pushes for, that advocates collective ownership or governmental ownership of what they call the means of production. And,
right.
And if you go into Marxist theory and so forth, that's that kind of transitional state. You've got capitalism. And then in between, you've got socialism, which is only supposed to be an intermediate step before communism, where somehow the state withers away and then you just have goodness and light and so forth for everyone.
It hasn't worked so far.
No, it really hasn't worked so far. But, I think it's not a great term to use because still there are people our age and older who hear the word socialist and freak out. And that's clearly not what Bernie Sanders means. He stated flat out that I am not advocating government ownership of the means of production, or he's never used the term means of production. I don't think that would be pretty disastrous
just
to do.
Kind of socialist clunky. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, he's pretty clearly calling for a larger safety net. He's calling for more government intervention. So he's calling for just more protections for people who are hurt the most by capitalism. And he's even come out, essentially one of those two cheers for capitalism sort of positions, saying that it's a great system for a lot of people. It does an awful lot, but it causes winners and losers, booms and busts, and it's the responsibility of government to protect people who are at the low end, who get hurt by those busts, and who are the, as Trump might call it, the big losers in this system. You know, with things like you know, I think the most kind of socialist sort of part of what Bernie Sanders is advocating is single payer health insurance for all, like basically Medicare for all system, and that's closer to kind of government ownership, but not as close as something like in the UK, which is hardly a socialist paradise, where they pay the doctors and the whole thing directly. So, and yeah. You know, certainly they're not considered to be, you know, incredible socialist commie types, that sort of thing. You know, that generally a lot more conservative.
Well, maybe not by you, but
not by me. No, they have a much more sensible system actually in a lot of ways. But yeah, that's another story. So, you know, I think that's what he means, is that he's not calling for the end of capitalism, not at all, but basically just to kind of smooth out the rough spots. And I think that's a great thing, you know. I don't have a problem with, I don't know why anyone would have a problem with that. Do you have a problem with that?
I do have a problem with that.
So you're not a democratic socialist. Is that right? Am I right in saying?
I am not a democratic socialist.
Okay, I am, and you're not. Okay, just to be clear
on that. I'm probably a democratic republican, I guess, is probably how I
Okay, now you've just confused me essentially, but okay.
Right, and that kind of, I mean, again, and I mean that in perhaps sort of the 18th century, early 19th century kind of way. The problem with socialism, as Margaret Thatcher famously pointed out, is sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And that's sort of the idea, is you can say, well, look, this is not intrusive. But yes, it is. I mean, if you are going to have a single payer system, all of a sudden the government determines how much you're going to get paid to do your job, if that's in healthcare, or it could be in something else. There is never a lack of problems out there that someone might say, well, the government can solve this too.
So you might not want to use healthcare for your example, because when you take a look at health outcomes and a lot of other factors, a lot of other countries who have, in fact, we're the only advanced industrial country that does it in this crazy way that we do it. And our outcomes aren't significantly better than anyone else. That's another conversation for another day.
Well, I'll differ with you on that. I mean, in that, again, living where I do here in Cleveland, we have the Cleveland Clinic, and we have people from around the world who come here to Cleveland, Ohio, to have surgeries, procedures, consult with doctors, as opposed to going to somewhere in their home country or somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And that indicates to me that there is the sense that there's more innovation, there's more moving forward here. And it's, look, if you want to talk about broader health outcomes, that, again, is something that's a little tough to say. It's all based on your healthcare system.
Well, I think that's an interesting point you raise, because a lot of folks on my side would come back by saying, yeah, it's a great system if you're a Saudi Arabian prince and you can fly over here and get that taken care of. But if you're a person who's stuck with crummy health care and ends up getting substandard care and dying, well, then that doesn't really help you out. And that's exactly the problem that Bernie Sanders is pointing out, is that the 1% gets the best of everything and the bottom 99% essentially gets the shaft, especially the bottom 20, 30, 40%. No, you can laugh, but I think Bernie Sanders is dead on, and a lot of people agree with me on that. You know, to go off of that point, you know, I mentioned it, socialism still is kind of a scary word for me. I can't quite shake some of my, you know, conservative upbringing, but for a lot of young people, that's not the case. A few years ago, the Pew Research Center did a poll of millennials, and that's people mm-hmm. between 18 and 29 or so. And they found that that 49% of them viewed socialism favorably, compared to 43% who view it unfavorably. They asked them the same question about capitalism. They found that only 46% of them viewed capitalism favorably. 47% viewed it unfavorably. So among millennials, at least in that one poll, only one I'm aware of that asked that question, is that socialism actually has higher favorability than capitalism, which I think is taking things a little bit far, certainly, but I can certainly understand it given what's happened since 2008.
Yeah. Well, and I would say in what's happened on our college campuses and the nature of the kind of indoctrination that folks get there. And
well,
I would
most
say
of those millennials
thing,
aren't college students, though, to be fair.
Well, they were college students fairly recently, though.
Well, no, because in a random
other,
sample.
The other thing that's a little different when you're talking about millennials and generally, I guess, the our impression of socialism is we don't have the Cold War is sort of over. And we don't have that negative example to look at of looking at places where, you know, look, was the Soviet Union a workers' paradise? Certainly not. Was Eastern Europe the workers' paradise? Certainly not. You don't have the scores of people flowing across, Eastern Europe to get to the West. People risking their lives to get over the Berlin Wall and so forth. People don't see that now, and I think the idea that socialism is more popular is sort of because you don't see it as much in practice.
I got to say on that. I can often see your view on a lot of things, but here I think you are just about as wrong as you can possibly be by setting up what I feel is a completely false choice. I think the comparison to make is not between the former Soviet Union or North Korea or Cuba or anything like that. I think the comparison to make is with the other advanced industrialized countries like us who have social democratic systems. So some of the Scandinavian countries, a lot of countries in Europe, and what you find is by a lot of fairly objective markers, quality of life, people's views of life and how they feel about, you know, just general health and happiness and so forth, that these places are doing by a lot of standards a better job than we are. And so I think that's the comparison. And I think that's the comparison that conservatives are scared of, because by that comparison, we're not number one. And that suggests a system that would require a lot more from them, that would give a lot more to the people who are most in need of it.
Do you think there's a correlation between when we talk about these, you know, Northern European nations, their happiness level, their general contentedness level, and they're willingness to accept socialism, or do you think the socialism brings about the happiness? I would say it might be the other way around. I mean, if you are living in a place, and I think this bears it out too in so many of the upper crust places of United States, if you've got folks who are living well and happy and they're not concerned about their future, there's very much a feeling of, yes, I'd be happy to share. If you look in places where people are really struggling to get by, in a lot of ways, no, socialism doesn't work out quite as well. The idea that, listen, we're going to have the government start handing out these benefits. And the other piece that you didn't point out about, you know, the more power you give a government to sort of pick winners and losers, is that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more.
And you're always going to have that when you get a system, the more the government weighs in on deciding who's going to get that health care? Who's going to get that surgery? If we only have so much, we're going to have to ration some of it. We only have so much money. It's got to go to someplace. And those decisions will be, in many cases, made politically.
I agree.
And that troubles people.
I agree. I agree entirely. But here's the thing is that power is going to be held by someone. And those decisions are going to be made by someone. Right now, that power is held. I'm going to channel Bernie Sanders. That power is held by the millionaires and the billionaires and not just the one-tenth, the upper one-tenth of 1%, those hundreds, a few hundred people who are the ones who rent the politicians, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, who make the decisions, who control the agenda, and who have systematically over the last 30 years hollowed out the middle class in this country, have just wrecked the social safety net. And so, yeah, I mean, you can see a reaction to this on the left and the right. I think that's a huge reason for, you know, the rise of the Tea Party and the Donald Trump people and the Bernie Sanders people, is because there's an innate view of fairness, belief in fairness, and a belief that the system is rigged. And who's it rigged for? It's rigged for that 1%, because they're the ones who are calling the shots. And I agree with the young kids who are the Sanders supporters. And I agree with, in that sense, oh my God, I'm going to say this, with Donald Trump when he says that, yeah, these people are corrupt and the system needs to change. Amen. Amen.
Wow. You are truly feeling the burn.
I am. I mean,
and you're wandering into the fever swamps of the left there. It's the idea that there's some sort of boogeyman 1%.
No, it's not a boogeyman. That's the thing.
Healthcare and the idea that I could have everything I wanted if it only wasn't for these couple billionaires who are secretly plotting against me.
See, I don't know. No, that's the sort of
nonsensical sort of thing that
I agree
that drives me around the bend.
I agree.
You think you don't have better healthcare because of rich people of Wall Street. It just doesn't make sense.
I think it's an evil plot. Okay. And when people who talk about evil conspiracies and smoke fill rooms and so forth, yeah, that to me would be actually easy, would be less scary. The scary thing to me is that it's just the setup of the system. I don't blame the Koch brothers. I don't blame these folks. They're just working the system as it exists. I get it. I would imagine that I would do the same things. I don't think that rich people are uniquely evil like a lot of folks on the crazy left do. I think they're just playing the game by the rules that have been set up. So I just want to see the rules different because I believe along with, I think, the framers that, that we have a system that in which people are going to pursue their self-interest. And so we need to align the incentives for people so that their pursuit of their self-interest is not destructive to the larger group of people in the country. That's all.
Well, that comes right back to where my first criticism, when you said people hurt by capitalism, I was going to take issue with that. I think the problem with capitalism is, maybe it does not distribute its benefits evenly.
Maybe.
But does it unfairly punish some? I don't know. I mean, look, we live in a system where we've got so much more than what we've had even in the past generation. If you compare, where we live and what we have to 20 years ago, and you compare that to 20 years before in terms of technology, in terms of healthcare, in terms of, in many cases, are the environment. And I'm not going to say that's perfect in every case, but this country has moved forward leaps and bounds.
This country? Environmental
upkeep and being in a better system from 40 years ago. And a lot of that's been because of technology, because of new innovations. It's because of people creating new businesses, creating new jobs.
I take
issue with the idea that capitalism is hurting. I mean, capitalism has lifted more people out of poverty, has been the greatest vehicle for the creation of wealth, knowledge, and a better life that we've ever seen. So,
that I agree with, but I think that's stalled out. When you talk about we've gotten a lot better and these things have happened to us, yeah, on average, just like if Donald Trump moves into my neighborhood, all of a sudden the average income in my neighborhood goes way up, but that doesn't help me any. And for too many people, that progress has stalled out. And so what have we gotten? We've gotten more gadgets that distract us and stress us out. We've gotten a big corporate agriculture that fills us full of crap food that makes us sick and so forth. So we've gotten big, corporate environmental policies that destroy our environment. So if that's better off, well, if that's better off, you can have it. So anyway.
Again, if you want to go that route, that we're living in the first time of history that one of the biggest problems that the poor face is that they're too fat. My God, I mean, that's if you raise that to someone 50 years ago, 100 years ago, they would just look at you with bewilderment.
Another issue, food policy.
You're wound up. Yeah.
I am wound up about this issue. And while I have to say, now people might hear this and think I'm a huge Bernie Sanders supporter. And in a sense I am, but I don't think I could ever vote for him just because I don't believe he would actually get stuff done. And again, so, there's that that battle between pragmatism and idealism. I love what he says, but I know how politics works, and I think that actually he might do more harm than good for the progressive cause. I'm kind of making Hillary, God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm making Hillary Clinton's argument for her, and I'm sorry. God, I am so sorry about that, but yeah, that's kind of where I stand. I am a frustrated Bernie Sanders supporter in a lot of ways, I think. So there it is.
Wow.
I've come out.
The original question was, what do we think the democratic socialist is? And
yeah, I think we think that the democratic socialist is someone who believes in a lot more government and a lot more redistribution and a lot more taxes on the rich. And I think I've come out pretty obviously in favor of all that. And I think
they tend to elicit sort of rants, don't they?
They do. They really do. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. So, but I do think that answers the question. So I think we're all set.
All right.
All right. So that's it for this episode of Ask the Politics Guys. Thanks everyone for listening. If you have any questions for future episodes or just any thoughts, comments, or criticisms, we'd love to hear from you. Our email is politicsguys@gmail.com. It's politicsguys1word@gmail.com. Our Facebook page, where Jay and I post and comment on news articles throughout the week, and where you can comment too, is facebook.com/politicsguyspage. Check it out and give us a like. If you're listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher, we would really appreciate it if you could take just a minute to rate the show and write a quick review. Ask the Politics Guys will be back next Wednesday. We hope you'll join us.